and a survivor, but more importantly, a man who hadn't fallen from the grace of Gaia in the gore and fight for their survival. If it were possible, Ryan would choose never to kill again, but simply live in peace. It was an impossible dream, but she knew he would never stop searching for some small corner of the world to call home, where edible crops grew in clean soil, and people didn't need to carry blasters every minute of the day and night. Truly an impossible dream. But it was infinitely more than most dared to even hope for. Dropping the towel, Christy placed a slim knee on the mattress, and he came awake instantly. There were no jerky movements or gasps of surprise, no outward signs at all that anything had changed. But the woman knew he was fully awake now, had already registered that they were alone in the officer's barracks, and was listening to her gentle breathing.
Tired, lover?
Turning over, Ryan glanced at the nude redhead sitting on the edge of the military bed. He recognized her expression and the way her animated hair was moving slowly about her face. She was the most beautiful woman he had ever been with, and the deadliest. Ryan knew that he more than loved the woman. There were no words that could adequately express what he felt for her, and to try would only be an insult. When something like that occurred, both people simply knew it, all the way down to their bones. There were no questions, no rules. As she crawled toward the supine man, her full breast swinging from the motion, he immediately began to get hard under the blankets.
Never that tired.
He pulled the covers away. The redhead took him in both hands and gently stroked until he was fully erect. Rising on an elbow, Ryan reached out for her, but Christy pushed him down again.
Me this time.
She straddled the man. He could feel the heat of her as she rubbed against him, the moisture and curly hair, an electric combination. Oh. Ryan ran his hands freely over her body as the woman rubbed closer and harder against his shaft until deliciously engulfing it. The hot confines of her fueled his desire. Then her special muscles contracted in a swirling motion about him, lifting and caressing as she moved back and forth, up and down, in a passionate rhythm. Only the sound of their breathing filled the room for several minutes. Gently, Ryan pulled her close, her full breasts falling warm and heavy across his bare chest. They kissed, tongues intertwining madly, savoring the taste of each other. Her red filaments laced with his black hair as the man and woman shared a single breath, their hearts wildly pounding. Then Ryan grabbed her around the waist, pinning Christy in that position as he started pumping hard and fast, using his thighs to drive into her at greater and greater speeds.
Gaia! Yes, lover, yes!
Their bodies gleaming with sweat, Ryan rode the woman from the bottom, maintaining the motions until Christy trembled all over. He thrust hard one last time, filling her completely, each lost in the sensual world of physical pleasure. And for a few precious moments, there was no world outside of their arms. Back arched, hair splayed, Christy waited for the tingling of the orgasm to pass, when there was a sound at the door. They both drew blasters and swung the weapons toward the portal, then relaxed when they heard the telltale step and click of Doc walking by using his sword stick.
Want to go eat now?
Christy laughed softly, placing the blaster aside and nestling against the big man's chest.
Later.
Ryan rolled over and placed the woman on a clean area of the bedsheets. Lustfully, Christy raked his back with her nails as he spread her smooth legs wide and slid inside the hot satin once more. Their bodies moving together as one, each was lost in his or her own private world, beyond the limitations of words. Several large-caliber machine guns fired non-stop, the burning tracer rounds forming dotted lines through the nighttime sky over Shilohville as the rooftop weapons cut down the muties crawling over the stone block wall in every direction.
They're everywhere!
A blue shirt ran from the front gate. A mob of muties was on the other side of the steel bars, reaching for him with claws and tentacles. It was worse than any nightmare. He fired his blaster at the inhuman creatures, and a few dropped, but others fought to get closer. A winged Muti landed on top of the wall and was cut down by machine gun fire, the heavy round slamming the body back into the darkness. Slinking from the gap was a pack of cougars, their fur changing color to match anything they were near. Their fur was cut by the sharp coils of concertina wire, droplets of clear blood oozing from the wounds. Snarling, they converged on a Sec man struggling to clear a jam in his blaster. Flesh was bitten off in bloody gobbets, the high-pitched screaming only lasting a few moments as they ate the man alive. Then the roar of an engine split the night, and a Hummer charged into view, plowing through the cat-like muties, their bodies smashed against the steel fenders with sickening crunches. One survived the attack and leaped inside to savage the driver. The Blue dragged out a hand cannon in time to blow off its face. Shoving the Hummer into gear, he sped away, leaving the other men behind. Small arms fire peppered the darkness. Then the steady chatter of a large caliber machine gun ripped the attackers to pieces. Dozens of muties died, but the rest spread throughout the base, hooting wildly as they latched upon anybody who got close. Fangs were buried in throats, tongues licking up the hot spurts of blood. The Sec men fired from doorways, from between buildings. The dead and the dying were lining the streets, but the muties kept coming, wave after wave, in countless numbers. And as an ammo clip became exhausted, another Norm fell screaming to the ground as his flesh was consumed before his heart had time to stop beating. Inside the armory, Secmen fired volleys through slim notches cut in the thick walls. In the shadows of the night, it was difficult to tell their own men from the muties, and often they didn't pause but fired anyway. Sometimes it was a bestial scream, occasionally a human cry of pain.
Sir! The fuckers are everywhere!
The Secman thumbed fresh rounds into an exhausted clip. He slammed the magazine into his weapon and worked the bolt, chambering around. Then he started to load a second clip. A case of 7.62mm ammo was at his boots, and two more full of Grens were on the table for easy access. The door was barricaded with a heavy oak throne, and the window shutters closed for the storm were now nailed tight into place.
Keep shooting!
Sheffield opened a third case of Grens. He cast aside the wood slats and ripped off the protective plastic sheeting with bare hands.
Any flamethrowers?
Colette tossed more wood into the fireplace. The flames licked high up the flue, and something noisily clawed away from the flames.
No! We used them up in the slave revolt. Silas never had a chance to get any more fuel tanks.
Shit! Anything in that Quonset hut except these rapid fires and MRE packs? Another APC or big... what do you call it?
M60? How should I know?
Going to a gun rack and taking down an AK-47 with an elaborately carved stock, Sheffield inserted a clip and pulled the arming bolt.
I have the inventory sheets, but haven't inspected every fucking box yet.
Standing, the angry woman stared at the man in disbelief.
Don't the sheets say what there is?
Unexpectedly, one of the searchlights winked out, and darkness swallowed half the vill.
Most of it's in military codes, just a bunch of numbers.
Baron Sheffield went to a chink in the brick wall and risked a glance outside. Nothing was visible, but tiny flowers of fire winked in the blackness. Muzzle flashes of the wall guards.
No time for that shit now!
Colette saw a strange dog dart between the buildings. Shoving the stubby barrel of her Ingram subgun out a hole, she sprayed lead at the passing creature. It toppled over, and something rose from its back to scamper away by itself. What the fuck was that?
Courtyard looks clear.
Cradling the long blaster, Sheffield grunted in reply, but didn't relax. Why now? The Norms had been here for almost a year building the vill. Why all the trouble now? A Sec man fired his weapon, short arcs of brass flying into the air to tinkle musically on the cold stone floor.
More coming through!
Outside, a flock of scream wings had descended on the bodies of the slain and were loudly feasting. Switching to single shot, Colette steadily fired the Ingram with lethal accuracy. Each slug took a muti in the head, skulls exploding, brains splattering outward in a grisly display. She dropped the empty clip and rammed in a fresh magazine.
This has got to be the Ash. There's no more food around here but us.
Fuckers eat each other, but only after we ace them.
Outside, the sounds of blaster fire were becoming infrequent, the human screams sounding constantly as more indescribable things moved past the armory. Cursing bitterly, Sheffield shoved a Kalashnikov out a hole and sprayed the darkness.
Soon as the scouts report a usable sight, we're gone.
Sheffield sprayed a deadly wreath of bullets into the shambling humanoid mockeries. Bodies fell, but a few in the rear struggled to rise once more. He fired again, emptying the clip, and they dropped permanently. As he reloaded, the man reflected that it almost seemed as if the second group had been using the first to test the defenses. Could that be? No, that was utter crap.